T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, ask and you shall receive.
Mills and Gordon and picked up, and that was a good call because the position helps Anderson. Here's Harden. Ginobili's on him. He's got, oh, Shaw, what a play by Ginobili! Knocked it away! San Antonio wins in overtime!
Yeah, that's it, boys. That's it. Yesterday, the conversation focused around the NBA playoffs, not living up to expectations, too many blowouts, and then we get a gem in San Antonio last night, Game 5, overtime. First time these two got together for a doozy. 110-107 is your final. The Spurs take a commanding 3-2 series lead as the series shifts back to Houston. Good morning and welcome in Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Keith Law set to join us in about 29 minutes. Alex Pavlovich at 7:30 to talk about the Giants and the latest injury that's going to derail this team. Tim Roy at 9:05. Woo, that felt good last night, Dibs, to watch that game.
Yeah, great ball game. It was maybe the second playoff game that I can remember this entire postseason that was as good as you would expect it to be. Memphis-San Antonio had that one overtime game that was a thriller. Finally, we had some drama, some Game 5 drama, and now the Spurs one step away from advancing.
Lo, you got to love it that it was the old man. When all was said and done, it was the old man making the big play to win that game.
No question. Excuse me. Joe, let me get a sip of that, please.
How about we do this? Go ahead.
Let me get a sip.
Get yourself together. It's early. It's going to be a long program. Let's go ahead and throw it to Dibs for his update.
He wanted a sip of your coffee. He's trying to run material, trying to share your beverage. The Warriors, meanwhile, are awaiting the outcome of the Western Conference semifinals. They've already qualified for their third straight conference final. San Antonio winning Game 5 over Houston in overtime. Game 6 is tomorrow. If the Spurs win, then the Warriors will host San Antonio on Sunday. If the Rockets win Game 6, that would mean Game 7. Then the Warriors would have to wait until Tuesday to play their next game, which will be in the Western Conference Finals. Story number 2, walk-off mania is over for the A's. They lose 7-3 to the Angels at home, but one Athletic continues to smoke.
Count 1-1, the outfield toward left, the infield toward right, and the pitch to Yonder is swung on and drilled to right center. Maben going back in the alley, looking up, and this one will be gone, a laser.
Yonder Alonso's second home run of the game. That's 7 and 8 games this month. The A's are 3 below 500, 7 back of Houston. The rubber game against the Angels today. Day baseball at the Coliseum. Andrew Triggs against former Athletic Jesse Chavez. 12:45 first pitch here on 95.7 The Game. Story number 3, make it 5 straight losses for the Giants.
As Walker flips it to left, Nunez is coming in. He slides and it gets by him. And everybody's going to run for a while, including Walker. 2 runs are going to score, and Walker is going to end up at third base.
Dwayne Kuiper, the call, NBC Sports Bay Area. The Giants struggling. They fall in New York 6-1. The Giants just 2 hits on offense. Buster Posey, a home run, one of them. Mark Melancon goes to the 10-day DL with forearm soreness. The Giants have scored just 7 runs in their last 5 games. Matt Cain against Tommy Malone, former Athletic, this morning with Day Baseball there as well. The update brought to you by Covered California. Lose your health insurance recently? If so, you may still qualify for health coverage through Covered California. Visit CoveredCA.com. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the A's, they take on the Angels today, 12:45, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. 110-107 is your final. San Antonio up 3-2. Now, that looks like a tight series heading to Game 6, but the reality of the situation is this. The last 4 games, San Antonio has won 3 of them, and they've done it playing their style of basketball. After the Houston Rockets scored 126 points in Game 1 to blow out the Spurs, they were held to 96, 92, both defeats, came back to win game four by scoring 105, and then scored 107 last night, but he needed an extra 5 minutes to get there. Mentally, if you're Harden in the Rockets, what are you thinking about right now coming back to Houston? Because you just dropped 3 of 4. Now you need to win 2 straight to advance.
You do, Joe, but at the same sense, you got to look at your superstar. And you know who that is on that team. Everyone's talking about who's going to be the MVP, Russell Westbrook, or is it going to be James Harden? Last night, you got to see their superstar get absolutely handled. Ginobili, the 39-year-old, you seen what he was able to do at the end of the game, let him beat him, and then he was able to clean swat on that three. This Houston Rockets team, they're looking for answers, and their playmaker is not making them for them.
Harden had just 4 points on 1 of 6 shooting with 4 turnovers in the final 5 minutes plus overtime last night. He looks like a man who's out of gas low. Has he been carrying this team too long?
He has. He's been carrying the team, and like you alluded to, Joe, 4 in overtime, but he had 9 in the game. Just goes to show you that James Harden is trying to make things happen, but this defense, it's stifling. If you watch the way San Antonio's are getting in guys' grill, up in their face, challenging guys, DeMarcus Aldridge starting to play a little bit better, getting some rebounds, but you saw this team, San Antonio that is, play good ball without their superstar. That's a good sign. That's a sign that this team, they can draw you down in the mud and still play rugged without their superstar. He did not play in overtime, and James Harden was on the court, and you got to see still the San Antonio Spurs and Popovich able still to impose their will. That was a big-time win, Joe. Big-time win.
Now, Dibs, the text line, Rob in Houston, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 925. He's saying the people down here, speaking of Houston, are all blaming the refs. This is a scenario where late in the game, Harden had the ball. He tried to make a play towards the rack late after taking the shot clock all the way down. They called him for the charge. Spurs had a chance to win it. Couldn't get the shot off in time. Game goes to overtime. Bad call on the officials?
Nah, it's a good call, actually.
You like the call?
Good call. I did like the call. That's maybe the most difficult play. If you did Mount Tough Call More in all of pro sports, certainly the block charge is on there. I think the home plate umpire, the ball strike call is brutal.
Yeah.
That ball's coming 95 miles an hour. Everyone talks about pass interference,
sure,
and holding, you know, calls you can call every single time. The block charge is bang, bang. Harden was a little bit out of control. I like the call.
I like it too, Joe, because of the fact when you watch it, Harden's coming to the hole, and I get it, and that was nice. And the good thing about it, the defender was moving his feet. He was giving him room. And all of a sudden, what did Harden do? He extended his elbow and his forearm, and that was a push, and they had to call that call. I thought it was good. The officials got it right, Dibs. You guys finally got one right.
Finally. Yes.
Now, Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a 2016 Premier Porsche dealer, and Freeman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. It's nice to be a Warrior Wednesday and know they're not going to play for a week while these two have to slug it out in overtime just to for the right to play in another game. Speaking of that next game, Kawhi Leonard, the star of the San Antonio Spurs, likely going to finish in the top 5 in MVP voting. Will he be available for that game after suffering an injury last night?
It's a little sore, but, my teammates did a good job of closing out that game. With me not being able to go that last stretch, it was frustrating because I want to play. But like I said, I was happy seeing my teammates out there putting in a good effort and getting a win.
Kawhi injured his ankle in the second half of that game. He went on to play. He got injured around the 5:37 mark of the third quarter, 5:37 left in the quarter. He played a few minutes the remainder of the way and then didn't go in overtime. What would our narrative be this morning if that was Steph Curry, if that was Kevin Durant? We would be saying possibly, I think soft is definitely one of them. I think the other would be, look at the team. They don't need him to win because we already did that earlier with Durant. What would they be saying if LeBron James had pulled this last night, not been able to go in overtime?
Well, they would say whoever stepped up and came through for the team off the bench, they would be lauding them. And Manu Ginobili, a guy 38, 39 years old to come in and make those plays, it'd be like if Matt Barnes came in for Kevin Durant. If KD sprained his ankle and Matt Barnes came through with a couple of huge plays late, you'd be worried about Durant or Curry if they got hurt, but you'd also be praising the play of the bench. The glass half full in this case for San Antonio.
Legitimate or not, you saw this happen firsthand. AFC Championship game, Patriots at New England.
Yeah.
LT was crucified for not playing in that game.
He was absolutely brutally crucified. Here's the difference. And LT's a lot like me, a lot like Kawhi Leonard. Quiet, soft-spoken, always going. If Steph would have got hurt, unfortunately, say what you want, people would say he's smaller guy, he gets pounded, get pushed around, he never gets the calls, and that's why his body just kind of breaks down. If that happens to him, that would be the narrative. If you know, it's like, well, he's just smaller guy, he's always getting hurt. Steph, we got to wrap him in bubble wrap because he's kind of smaller little guy. Kawhi, you don't hear that because he's tough, he doesn't say anything, he's always going about his business. It's just amazing to me, Joe and Dibs, that everyone's talking about giving Harden this pass. He gasped because he's been carrying this team, and he's this. The guy's 27 years old. What about LeBron James putting all those minutes in when he does play, but then in his playoffs, the guy's averaging over 30-some minutes at 32 years old. You never see this guy. Everyone says, well, he's out of gas, so he can't play. This guy's running with the twos, he's running with the ones. You got to give LBJ some credit when you think about guys being gassed.
You're going to upset everyone. You know that.
What am I keeping it 100, though?
You keep it at 100 for sure, but you're going to upset everyone. No one here likes to hear about that. That's why we talk about it so often, because it gets people fired up. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. They say a fool and his money are soon parted. I know a fool who's working on taking your money, and this fool might be changing the game. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in on this Warrior Wednesday, driven by Premier Nissan of Stevens Creek. For the best deals, visit your winning team in the South Bay, Premier Nissan of Stevens Creek. Online at PremierNissanOfStevensCreek.com. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, is going to join us at 9:05 today. Jim Barnett at 8:30. They say a fool and his money are soon parted, but what about a fool who's trying to get your money? That is LaVar Ball. Some may say he's a fool. Some may say he's a genius. But he's out there selling the LO2s, which, can I ask a question? Because I know you got into this Friday when I wasn't here. If it's the first installment of the shoe, why is it called the LO2?
Or the ZO2, I think. The ZO, the ZO2.
Whatever it is. Why is there the 2 at the end if it's the first installment of the shoe?
I thought immediately of the periodic table of the elements, and it was a zinc oxide, which would be ZO2. Because oxide, when you have two of them, like carbon dioxide,
yeah,
CO2. That's immediately what I thought of. But to answer your question, it's ludicrous, it's idiotic, it's pathetically inane to have a shoe be called number two when you've never had number one.
The ZO2 thing, I kind of like that.
Zinc oxide.
Is that the pink stuff you throw on your nose at the beach?
I think that's what that is.
That's good stuff. That looks cool. That needs to be brought back.
I'm going to take this playoff. Don't come to me after he gave me all those big words and start jerkatizing ZO2.
You don't have to worry about the science part of it.
Yeah, I'm done.
Periodic table of the elements, low.
Oh, that actually shut you down. There wasn't going to be a take that follows.
Right, okay. The CO2. I'm like, okay, Dibs, go ahead.
Well, here's the question I've got. This guy, and you talked about it last week. And generally, this would not be something where I'd come back and then on Wednesday say, hey, do you want to get back into this material? But he keeps showing up every single day. You go to SI.com, Sports Illustrated, and one of their lead stories is how LaVar Ball is out there telling people, well, Michael Jordan couldn't sell $495 shoes because he's not Lonzo Ball. He's not Lonzo Ball. He wasn't Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball can sell $495 shoes. Now, they're following a very specific business model for anyone who's ever been at the MGM Grand when Floyd Mayweather fights. Mayweather has the money team. Do we all know about the money team?
Yeah.
He used to be Pretty Boy Floyd. Now he's Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yep.
Well, when Mayweather sells his merchandise at MGM Grand, he's got hats that are just like these baseball hats we wear from time to time, similar to what you're wearing right now.
Big Bill, right, sure.
I'd imagine you probably got that for free, being Loneal. But had you paid for it, maybe about $30.
Yeah.
Floyd sells his for about $400, $450.
A hat?
Just a simple hat.
Get out of here.
It's nothing special about the hat. I mean, it's probably a nice hat. But the reality is, it's not some special Corinthian leather or anything like that.
Nice.
It's simply, if you're going to be part of the money team, you got to have the money to be a part of this team. You got to be able to spend $400 on a hat. That makes you money team. That's what Ball's trying to equate to here. It's not so much that the shoes maybe deserve the $495. It's that if you're going to be a big baller, if you are a big baller, you would have $500 to spend on shoes. Genius or fool is what I'm asking here, because he's been in the news cycle every damn day since last week. We all talk about how we don't want to hear about him anymore, about how we're just fueling the fire. I realize that I'm doing that right now by speaking about him. But is he a genius that he's found a way to market these shoes, these $495 shoes, every day? Fox keeps putting them on TV. ESPN keeps putting them on TV.
I think the genius part is that he's getting the advertising. because I'm going to tell you right now, I was trying to, you know, I think I had a great line. I still got it trademarked, a deal called Fan Foods. Everyone is a fan of something, whether it's a fan of the Bible, whether it's a fan of books, whatever. People are a fan. And I said, okay, this is a great niche. Fan foods, stadium, parking lots, fans. All the fans are buying the fan types of food, the hot dogs, the burgers, the ribs.
So what's the company selling? Food?
Yeah, fan food. So you get people, they're a fan of food. So I'm like, this is great. And I started putting in a little bit of my own coin, Joe. And I start looking.
Rare.
And I'm like, oh, my God, Costco, that's going to have a $700,000 worth of deal. But I had to pay it up front. And you don't sell, you got to come get it. Didn't have the advertising dollars to do it, so I said, let me digest. I know people like to digress, but I'm going to say
in this situation, sometimes divest.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
And so, really, it was. And so I understand this. So I'm like, if I wish I could have that, I could have had that type of advertising. So when you're talking about genius in that way, no doubt, man, you're giving a guy a stage, and he's getting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of free advertising. So that part, genius.
I like where you're going with that. Dibs, second part to this question. Do you think Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, anyone else who makes shoes is worried about this guy? And what I mean by that is Chance the Rapper, right? Just won those Grammys. Very, very popular. Chance the Rapper doesn't have a record label. Like, this is a dude who's moved millions of albums. He's streamed at a ridiculous rate on Spotify and all the other services. Winning Grammys. One of the most popular guys out there. Making money hand over fist. But he doesn't have a record label. He cut the middleman out. That's what Ball's doing here. They're cutting the middleman out. If you're Nike, are you behind closed doors worried that the next big high school thing like LeBron or the next big college thing that comes along looks at this model and says, huh, maybe we don't need to sell hundreds of thousands, if not millions of shoes, because if we control it ourselves, we may be able to make more off of it even by selling less.
I think that the eyebrows are raised. I don't know if we've yet reached fear status. And just hearing you talk about it, Joe, and lay it out like that reminded me of a number of different avenues where this is starting to happen. And the one that just struck me was the Players Tribune. The fact that players can now directly go to their own blog or their own podcast. You know, we're talking a lot about Draymond's podcast or Channing Frye is a podcast, for crying out loud.
A highly rated podcast.
Yes.
A very popularly downloaded podcast. I like where you're going here.
And the point is, though, these athletes now are finding that they can go direct to the fans through their own medium. They don't need the media any longer. And you've got cord cutting now where people aren't relying on the cable networks anymore. People don't need newspapers anymore because you've got direct to the internet. And so many different industries now are finding that the business model is changing. And so I think that this is a little bit scary to Under Armour, just a little bit, because the Nike empire is billions with a capital B. It's not going to be felled by one individual and his over-aggressive father. However,
if Axe Capital gets involved.
Seriously. And I, by the way, I just saw the finale. Outstanding.
Finally, you caught up.
Outstanding stuff. But I think this is definitely raising the eyebrows of the big merchandise companies. But until you see a real success story, if this thing goes out and becomes a major brand and Lonzo becomes the best player in the league, then you may see the model change a little bit.
Here's why I agree to disagree. Joe, this can be a multi-billion dollar industry if they did it right. And the mean by that, if they took themselves out of it and the Ball family and said, Mr. Neal, how would you make this company grow? And I can tell you that. I know we're up against it, but if you want me to come back and tell you, I got a great idea how this company would work, and it would be one of the best companies out there.
Might be the greatest tease of your life right there. That's great tease.
I got something great when we come back.
Sadly, we got Keith Law when we come back. And we're going to talk baseball, but 6:45 or 7, I'm figuring we wedge in how you're going to take this thing to the next level, because there's a lot more to this, especially with the fact that what if Lonzo isn't even a good player? And the ZO2s they're being called, he wears number 2. He wears number 2. That's why. Thank you, text line. But that raises this question. What happens when the third installment comes out? You're going to call him the ZO2-3s? Gets a little confusing. Joe Lowe and Dibs, back with Keith Law. What are they going to do about Mark Melanson? 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He is a senior MLB writer for ESPN.com and author of a terrific new read. It's called Smart Baseball, the story behind the old stats that are ruining the game, the new ones that are running it, and the right way to think about baseball. Follow him on Twitter, at Keith Law. Keith Law with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Keith, good morning and congratulations on the book. It's your first one from what I understand.
That is correct, and thank you very much. It's a thrill and also a relief.
What was the process like?
It was long. It took about 10 months to write it start to finish. And the real challenge for me was I'd never written anything so long as even most of the chapters in this book. My writing for ESPN might go to 2,000 words, would be the longest, at least at the high end of the range. You know, the chapters in this book are 5,000-6,000 words. So to sustain a single narrative or a single thought over something that long, to sort of slow my pace down, use more examples, and try to bring more people into the stuff I write for ESPN for Insider. So it's a selected audience. This was a book I was trying to write for the broadest audience possible. And so that meant changing a lot of my process and a lot of the you know, it's still my words, and I hope it's still my voice, but the way I space out the arguments, I think, is pretty different.
Well, I know this is just coming from a handful of us here in this room, but we appreciate the copies you've sent to us. We've read it, we enjoyed it, and we're thrilled to have you on this morning. So thank you so much again for sending that our way. Keith Law with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Giants struggling like you couldn't believe, but they're struggling against the Mets, and that's where I want to start. The Matt Harvey situation, is this a buy low candidate right now? It appears as if he and Terry Collins were alluding to potential alcohol problems. Harvey, how bad of the situation is this for everyone involved?
I should point out, I don't cover the Mets specifically, so I have a fairly superficial knowledge of the situation. To answer your question about, is it a buy low opportunity, I highly doubt it, just because I don't think they would give him away at this point, recognizing how much value he might have to another franchise. It might be a situation where they're willing to trade him where they weren't necessarily a year ago. You might find some traction there, but I don't think they'd be willing to give him away for 50 cents on the dollar, even with whatever their disappointment might be in him right now.
The Giants appear to be a candidate that will be selling as we get closer to the trade deadline, but they're going to be forced to maybe sell low without many players playing that well. Which candidates do you think among the Giants veterans are most likely to be on the move before the deadline?
Well, first they have to make that decision, right? I'm not real sanguine about the Giants' chances this year, just given the hole that they're in and the problems that they've got in the starting rotation right now. But I don't think they're going to look to sell anybody until probably early July. Although the record is terrible, there's quite a bit of time left for them to climb back into it. I had Cardinals fans. I was on Cardinals radio about 3 weeks ago, and they were freaking out that the season was lost and were they going to rebuild. And I think they're in first place now. So Giants are in a little bit of a bigger hole, but I'm certainly not writing them off at this point or assuming that they're going to be that they're automatically going to be sellers when they get to the All-Star break.
And when you watch this Giant team, and everyone says sometimes you could be in a slump, and I get it, you hit your way out of it, you pitch your way out of it, all the different cliches. Last night watching the team and seeing Nunez out there in left field trying to run up and make a play, and Boggs misjudges, gets by him, it just seems like to me, maybe you can correct me wrong, is the talent really there? I know they could be in a slump, but is the talent there?
Well, they're hurt. Eduardo Nunez is not a major league regular. It was a bad trade, and they keep trying to force. That's a square peg in a round hole. He's an extra guy.
Sure.
He shouldn't be playing every day anywhere. But if Crawford's back, and I know he had a rehab game, he had a couple hits last night for Richmond. If he's back, you know, if you had Denard Span back, obviously Bumgarner out for a while, that's pretty brutal. But you know, they could get pretty close to healthy. Like, I don't look at this team when healthy and say, oh, there's not enough talent. This was not a team that had a chance. I had them winning a wild card spot, I think, but not, or at least finishing second in the division, not catching the Dodgers. If everyone's healthy, there's plenty of talent there. The problem is they've been running basically three quarters of a roster. And then the Nunez thing really just baffles me. I didn't get the trade at that time. It was, I mean, he's one where the stats last year were actually pretty good, but if you scouted the player, I mean, I've seen him quite a bit going back to when he was with the Yankees. This guy has very poor feel for the defensive side of the game. He's a bat-only guy without much power, and just about any place you try to play him, he's going to cost you some runs on his defense. The left field hole was probably something they should have addressed more strongly in the offseason, but you know, if that were their only problem on offense, we might not be having the conversation. The problem is they're so banged up that they've been getting less production than expected from probably three, maybe four lineup spots this year.
ESPN's Keith Law with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You brought up Bumgarner earlier. How do you see the organization and Bumgarner proceeding as it pertains to a long-term contract extension? The rumor was that they were going to look to get something done after this year, but now Bumgarner's out until the All-Star break. And if the team's out of contention, A, do you see them possibly just shutting him down for the year to preserve the innings? B, if they do something like that, how do you invest $200 million in the guy if you don't know whether or not he's fully back from that shoulder injury?
They've got 2 years left. They've two team options. They have 2 years left of team control. They'd be crazy to give him a $200 million contract. I would have probably said that before he got hurt. You don't want to go long-term with pitchers until you absolutely have to. And I would have gone at least through the 18 season before looking at doing something long-term with him, because pitchers get hurt. Granted, his injury was in a weird way, but pitchers are more prone to injury and more prone to sudden loss of effectiveness than position players are. So I'm not a big fan of investing long-term in pitchers, period. Bumgarner has thrown a lot, and he's been great, but he's been worked like a little bit hard. He's had some long seasons. He's thrown a lot of innings. It's not a guy I would feel confident about giving 6 or 7 years to and trying to go into him for high nine figures, as you're describing. To me, that's a guy where you ride him towards the end of the contract, and if he gets to free agency and you have to pay a little bit more for exchange for waiting on him, then you do it. And now at this point, with him being hurt, you've got to see him come back and be healthy and effective for a full season before you even think about giving him an extension.
Do the Giants need to rethink the way they work these deals? They gave Matt Cain a ton of money after the peak of his career. Hunter Pence is now playing out the tail end of what's become a bloated contract. Is this an approach they need to change as far as the front office goes?
Well, I mean, Cain at the time that he signed the extension was in his peak. It didn't look like a bad deal. It looked expensive because pitching deals are expensive. But he signed that deal, I think, around the same time as the Cole Hamels extension. And there was one more right around that same time, around the same price range, same caliber pitcher. I'm drawing a blank on who it was. But it seemed like they paid what was about the going rate to extend a star caliber pitcher. And he was. Cain was a star at that point. It didn't look that bad at the time that they did it. It's the extending and, the Brandon Belt contract. I know he's not hitting for average, but he's getting on base at a tremendous clip, and he will hit for average because he does. He has most of the – really ever since he became a regular. Extending guys, position players into their early 30s is fine. It's the extending guys into their mid to late 30s, that's where you start to get into trouble, position player or pitcher.
Senior MLB writer for ESPN.com and author of the new book, we've read it, we love it, Smart Baseball, the story behind the old stats that are ruining the game, the new ones that are running it, and the right way to think about baseball. Follow him on Twitter at Keith Law. Keith Law with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Keith, again, congratulations on the book, and thank you so much for your time this morning. We greatly appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure.
Woo! You see what happens when you step outside the Bay Area bubble? And you get someone else's opinion on a matter like Bumgarner, not to say he's right or wrong, but here, by and large, Giant fans, pay him whatever it takes. He's going to be fine. Very optimistic and positive. It's a guy who studies the game quite a bit. He comes out and says, I'd make him come back, show he can dominate for a full year. And even then, I'd let him get to free agency and maybe pay a little bit more once he hits the market rather than extend him now.
It makes perfect sense. But then that's why I asked the question about, do they need to do things a different way? Because Matt Cain got this massive contract, and Hunter Pence a big deal, and it looks good in the front, but the back end of these contracts doesn't look very good, and now you're in a situation where you're saddled by a few of these deals, and guys aren't producing.
Hell, Madison, the front end of the belt contract doesn't look very good right now.
Madison should do one thing. I'd fire my agent. Should have fired him. Should have never let that guy turn you into this type of long-term deal. Should have did a two-year deal, max, and said, okay, I'm playing pretty well, and gambled on what's smart. Yourself. When you do it long term to get a bird in the hand, they say it's better than two in the bush. Not in some cases. And this time, Madison Bumgarner, they signed the contract. It's a horrible deal for him long term. It was too long of a deal.
Here's another point, and the final one on this matter before we get into something very interesting. How do you sell a rebuild to a 30-year-old Buster Posey? We keep talking about the idea of what happens at the trade deadline. Do you sell everybody off, or do you hold pat because you can continue to sell tickets with the stars? How do you sit down a 30-year-old Buster Posey and say, look, we're going to move a lot of pieces here. We are going to rebuild this team. How do you do that to one of the most beloved players in franchise history. You want to weigh in on that, 888-957-9570. But up next, Raider fans, some very optimistic news. Niner fans, believe it or not, optimistic news for you as well, to a lesser degree. We'll have that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Great to have you in. Jim Barnett's going to join us at 8:30. Tim Roy is going to join us at 9:05. Ken Korak at 9:30. No walk-off for him last night. He must be completely bummed out. And Sean Livingston at 9:45. Little football discussion coming your way before we jump back into the NBA. Top of the hour, 7 o'clock. CG Technologies is a very popular sports book that operates multiple sports books in Las Vegas. We don't need to go over too many of the details there, but one thing they do every year around this time is they release point spreads on every single game for every single team, with the exception of Week 17. Week 17, you don't want to get caught up in that because players sit, certain playoff positionings are determined. They always leave 17 off the board. Optimism on both sides of the equation. So would you prefer to start, Dibs? I'll give you the honors. Would you prefer to start with the Niners or the Raiders in this situation?
Let's start with the 49ers. I think these spreads will be interesting.
Okay. Last year, if you remember, the 49ers opened on the road at Carolina. That was week two, actually. Week one was the home Monday nighter against the Rams. They won that game, and they were home dogs in it. The next week, they went on the road to Carolina, double-digit underdogs. The week after that, they went to Seattle, double-digit underdogs. The Niners didn't get a lot of respect last year. In the eyes of the bookmakers, they're not getting a lot of respect this year either, but they're only a double-digit dog one time. Week two at Seattle, 13-point underdog. Now, they're only a favorite one time, and that happens to be week three, the Thursday nighter against
the Rams.
Lowe is over there smiling because he knew it. It's the Rams. They should be a favorite against the Rams on the road as well. But that's what you're looking at. 14 dogs, one favorite, and then nothing for week 17. But the optimism, Cleveland's an underdog in every single game they play. They have one game where they're a pick'em. That's against the Jets. And they're an average underdog of 6 points per game, with 9 of 15 point spreads having the Browns as a dog of 7 or more points. Just trying to wrap your mind around how little respect Vegas and bettors at large have for a team that's going to be listed like that early, mind-boggling. But for the Niners, by and large, it's a pretty respectable opinion. You're going to come out in week one hosting Carolina. You're a 4.5-point underdog at home against the Panthers. Not a bad spot. You're plus 13 at Seattle. You're going to be a favorite at home Thursday night against the Rams. And we can go on and on down the list, but I want to throw one out there, actually two, that caught my mind. And Lowe, tell me what you think about this. Later in the season, week 13, going to Chicago to possibly face rookie Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. Catching 4 points. 4-point underdog. Kind of like the Niners in that spot. I think by that point, they'll have it dialed up a little bit.
They will, and you're going to have both teams, I think, that you got to give the Niners the edge as far as quarterback that game. You got to look at what they have on their roster compared to Mitch Trubisky if he's starting at that time.
Revenge spot for Hoyer.
Absolutely. I think that you look at that and say, here's a guy that got ran out of town. Warriors going to be under helm. Niners got a pretty good running back. They went and got better on defense. I liked that matchup, Joe, and I think that that's a game that they'll win.
Now, here's another one. This is the game that's going to be flexed to Sunday Night Football. It's the game we already have gotten tickets to. We're all taking the families to it. It's the Niners hosting the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah.
It's the game everyone has circled. The Niners are a 1-point dog at home to this Jaguar team late in the season. Dibs, your thoughts on that? That one I circled and I thought, I think they may have got this one wrong.
Yeah, I think we may want to hammer that early before that line moves, because by the time that game comes around, the Niners are going to be playing well. We did our whole breakdown the schedule thing, and I think I had them at 5 or 6 wins, but winning 3 of their last 5. The 49ers schedule gets easier toward the end of it. The team likely will be playing better by then. That's one we should fire on immediately, Joe. Let's go to break. Let's whip out your magic phone. Let's pool our funds, and let's get down on that.
Week 11, the Niners are on the bye. When they come off the bye, week 12, they're plus 7.5 hosting Seattle. They will then travel to Chicago as 4-point underdogs. They will then travel to Houston as 9-point underdogs. They will then come home to face Mariota and the Titans as 3-point underdogs. Interesting spot there, because that's a sandwich spot for Tennessee if you look at their schedule. That's one they can overlook. Then it's week 16 plus 1 against Jacksonville, and then no line for for the finale. Now, I want to get to the Raiders, because if you remember when we broke down the Raiders' schedule, I told you the bet of the year was on that schedule. And I'm not just talking about for the Raiders. I'm talking about for everyone in the NFL. It's the Thursday night game at home against Kansas City. Remember last year, Kansas City, in that situation, was the bet of the year. Why, you might ask? Because if you go back to the 90s, there have been roughly 14 situations in which a team has played on Sunday and then had to travel for a Thursday road game, 1,500 or more miles across two time zones. In those situations, the home team, 13-1 straight up, 13-1 against the spread. That happened to the Niners last year, or excuse me, the Raiders last year when they went to the Chiefs. Chiefs covered. The NFL tries to avoid these situations for Thursday nights, but for the AFC West, it can be difficult. The Chiefs have to follow that pattern this year coming to the Raiders. Vegas released it as Oakland -3. Nothing more than the casual 3 points. Basically a situation where you could say it's a neutral field. They'd be pick 'em.
Yeah.
3 points in that game. Kansas City in that travel spot low with the Coliseum hype on a Thursday night like that, you got to figure the Raiders pound them.
Yeah, you got to figure that that's going to be a coming out party. You know, the Raiders are looking for revenge all the time. Kansas City, you got to realize, has swept them last year. This has got to be a bad taste in their mouth. So, yeah, I think at home, they're in a good situation. Playing at the Coliseum, that place is going to be rocking. I'm surprised that point spread is only at 3 points.
The Raiders listed as favorites in 10 of 15 games this year. There's one pick'em game, which is week 15, home against Dallas. Pick'em.
Wow.
That's Sunday Night Football, if memory serves me correctly, is it not?
Yeah.
What would you do in that spot? The Raiders at home in the Coliseum. Vegas is telling you they think Dallas is a much better football team. Much better.
Yeah.
Pick them. What would you do with that?
It's interesting because my number was winning 10 games. It's winning 10 games this year, and that's my number. It's interesting. It's right spot on with Vegas. That one, you got to take the home team, because I'm going to take Carr over the rookie, the second-year quarterback. You got to take him over Dak Prescott. I believe in Carr a little bit more than him. But it's going to be an interesting game, Joe, because of the Raiders' defense up front. They got to show me a little bit more. They got to show us all a little bit more. One of the worst defenses against the pass, you know, up front, like number 27. So they have to show us more, because we understand what that game's going to be about. It's going to be physical, and you know you're going to get a heavy dose of Ezekiel Elliott.
Here are your four dog spots for the Raiders this year. Week 4, +2 at Denver. They're not even laying the customary 3 for home field. So that's Vegas telling you that they believe the Raiders are a better team than the Broncos this season. Dog spot number 2, Sunday night in Miami. Dolphins a 1-point favorite there low. That's one that you were looking at earlier, because last year you got higher on the Dolphins than just about anybody. And even though they didn't make the playoffs, you're ahead of schedule on that one, much like you were with the Titans, because those were two good football teams.
No, Miami lost. They made it to the playoffs. They just lost early. Remember the first week they got motorboated by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh motorboated them.
Oh, my God. They were in the playoffs.
Yeah. Tannehan.
Tannehan. Remember Tannehan?
How do you forget Tannehan?
He was Tannehan that game. They got
motorboated. Yeah, that's a good point.
He's a playoff caliber quarterback now.
Right. So
like
they,
it or not.
So they
must not have had any action on that game. For to just so casually leave my memory like that.
Yeah, but it's all good. Pittsburgh motorboated them. So
you deserve even more credit then, because you were high on them last year as well as the Titans. Those were two buy low candidates for you, and you hit on both.
I just don't believe in the quarterback. Tannehan, I just don't believe in. I think that his days are numbered. They'll never get over the hump with Tannehan.
Raiders, though, with an upset in Miami Sunday night?
Yeah.
It's possible, yeah. Isn't that the second half of their back-to-back road stretch?
But they're staying out there.
They got that road trip.
At Buffalo the week before.
Yeah, I don't like it. And we talked about this. How do you pack for that trip? Because you go to Buffalo in the snow, and then you go down to Miami. Having days off in Miami ahead of a Sunday night game? I don't like it, Joe. No, sir.
It is the week before the bye. How would you pack for that?
Yeah.
Now that I find that question to be so fascinating.
I'd bring my trench coat. You know, make sure to have that. And then I'd bring my Speedos, because I'd got to get a little R&R in Miami. I'd head down to South Beach and just chill. Tuesday, my off day. I wouldn't do nothing crazy. But I would definitely go in the sand and let the sand underneath my toes. That's always good. And then get in the salt water. Salt water is good for inflammation. It's really good. Just get in the water, move around, get the joints going. Salt water is really good for inflammation, Joe. So they're going to win one or two of those games.
Get the joints going, Joe.
What trench coat?
Buffalo freezing.
Yeah, but a trench coat, are those still popular?
Yeah, but it's going to be like a mink, something nice and warm.
A mink coat.
Yeah, mink, trench, whatever.
No, he can wear his trench coat down in Florida and flash with his Speedo.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Jimmy's.
And bam!
Bam, waves in your face.
How you like me now?
Yeah, you like
Boom.
Me now.
Week 14, another dog spot, +3 at Kansas City, no surprises there. How about this one, week 11? The New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Now, the Patriots are favored in every single game this season.
All 15.
The 15 that they have up there.
Correct.
15 favorites.
Amazing.
But in Mexico City, 1.5. They're a 1.5-point favorite over the Raiders. That, to me, smells like an AFC championship game. 1.5. You're not even going to go down there and lay 3. It's a neutral site game. If the Patriots are going to be favored in every single game, you can't tell me the Raiders have any sort of home field advantage. Maybe the crowd's a little bit louder. Maybe they have a little bit of experience with it. But let's be honest. Bill Belichick, the Patriots, they know exactly what they're getting into.
They do. And the best thing for the Raiders in that game, in my opinion, is to get motorboated. And I think they might will go in there thinking it's time to change it. And they're going to go in there and they're going to run into a buzzsaw because New England's going to say, let's send a message. And it's going to be, I think, because the Raiders are a good team, that's that game, Joe, that the humble pie. And I think a loss sometimes can build you for the future.
I got to tell you, I hate to say this, and it's not going to be popular, but the Raiders laying 1 at Tennessee in week 1, I think, is a mistake. I think the Titans need to be favored there. I think the Titans are going to be a pretty good football team. Lowe sold me on them last year. I've been following. I'm now piggybacking completely. I'm just going to ride his back in this situation. Have you seen anything to make you think the Titans won't take a big step forward this year?
No, I was down there, Joe, and I told you I sat with the guys, running backs, offensive line, and went back there for that reunion. And just watching that team, they remind me a lot, Joe, of the Raiders. A unity, guys that are together. They get 100% workout OTAs. These guys have bought in. Steve Watterson, we had on the show, the strength coach, he loves the guys in the nucleus. He even told me, went as far to say it reminded him of that 2000 Tennessee Titan team.
Really?
Just far as the guys being together. They got a two-headed monster. Both running backs get along. You got a young quarterback just like Carr and Mariota. This is going to be a good team. And they went out and got a go-to receiver in the draft early because they wanted to make sure that Mariota had a true number one, because last year he didn't have it, Joe.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff right there. It's going to be funny to see how all this plays out in the what will end up being the very near future with the way time's been flying by. Alex Pavlovich is going to join us at 7:30. We've got Luke Bryan tickets to give away at 8:45. Up next, it's time for the scouting report. Rockets, Spurs, a thriller last night in San Antonio. But Kawhi Leonard, he doesn't play in overtime with the ankle injury. What are we saying about LeBron James this morning if he doesn't play in that same situation? Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.